Hey, it's Myron Metcalf. I know you're used to hearing me join the show to explain what's happening in the world of college basketball, or hosting every Sunday morning on ESPN Radio, or maybe even reading my words about everything Minneapolis in the Star Tribune. But you are going to be hearing different voices hosting ESPN Daily in the coming weeks, and I'm lucky enough to be one of them. I'll be with you the rest of the week, helping this podcast do what it's always done. Tell the best sports stories and audio, day in and day out. Thanks for listening. Emily Kaplan, as you know, I live here in Minneapolis. I have a PhD in cold weather, so I can't understand why someone would go to a place colder than this. But you spent some time a couple months ago in Regina, Saskatchewan. Did you lose a bet? Why would you voluntarily go to a place that cold?
When I try to get away in winter, Myron, I like to go to warm tropical places, but I decided to go to Regina, Saskatchewan for one reason only, and that's because the unanimous projected number one pick of the 2023 NHL draft, a kid I've been hearing about for years, Connor Bedard, plays his junior hockey there.
Bedard cruising in, hesitates, shoots, scores! Hat-trick goal, Connor Bedard! The kid is unreal.
Up the middle finds Bedard, he's over the blue line in the slot, cutting, he shoots, he scores! It's another bullet from Connor Bedard, his 46th of the season.
Bedard to bring him up for Regina. One on two, step by the defenseman to the net. The deke, he scores! Oh my! Does it get any better than that? Connor Bedard puts on a show.
Look, I live in Chicago, so I've got a graduate degree in cold weather, too. So I've got the proper footwear and gloves, and I understand which jacket to wear. But when you're a hockey reporter, you want to understand your subjects. And when the top prospect in hockey, the player that everyone is saying is the most hyped player since the other Connor, Connor McDavid, when I got the opportunity to spend a couple hours with him, it was the easiest yes I ever made.
How do you feel about potentially being one of the faces of the NHL?
Obviously it would be special and stuff. If people are considering me that one day, that would be awesome. But just to be able to play in the NHL would be a dream come true.
In hockey, there's only one player who is known as the great one. But after Wayne Gretzky, there are a whole bunch of next ones, as in next faces of the National Hockey League. Sidney Crosby was the next one, and Connor McDavid is sometimes called the next Sidney Crosby. For 2023's projected first overall pick, 17-year-old Connor Bedard, the pressure is on to follow in that legacy. So today, as the NHL prepares for the draft lottery, Emily Kaplan tells us a little more about hockey's next big thing, and whether he can live up to the hype as the game's latest can't-miss kid. I'm Myron Metcalf. It's Monday, May 8th, and this is ESPN Daily.
Delicious meat, nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Trust me, I've been eating them like there's no tomorrow all week. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you, like me, are on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries, whatever it may be. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snack game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Emily Kaplan, you've been spending a lot of time covering the Stanley Cup playoffs, which the Minnesota Wild decided they no longer wanted to be a part of. But it's been awesome so far, right? Watching all the action. And you see a lot of guys who were the number one overall picks in the past and the impact that they're having. Guys like Connor McDavid, as you mentioned, Austin Matthews. And now you have this 17-year-old prodigy, Connor Bedard. And he's next on that list. So I get it now why it was worth the trip to Saskatchewan in the winter. Fill us in. What was he like?
You know, Myron, he's extremely polite, well-mannered, I would say. Also really well-media-trained. This is somebody who's been in the spotlight since he was 12 years old. And he's been conditioned to handle that spotlight.
What is it like knowing that you're going from this small community in Saskatchewan to a major metropolitan city in just a few months, potentially? Like, what do you think that's going to be like?
Well, we don't know if it's happening yet or anything. But, you know, if it does, I think, you know, it's obviously a little different. But, you know, I grew up in Vancouver, which is a big city. You know, get used to the traffic and all the people and stuff. So I think that would be good. But, you know, who knows what's going to happen and everything. And
every sentence he gave about the draft was a qualifier of if I get drafted. Like, the only person in the world that's not wanting to talk about Connor Bedard is Connor Bedard himself, which is a traditional hockey attribute. Like, he follows the scripture, thou shall not talk about himself. But, you know, the other thing about him is he is humble. He tells the story of when he did get exceptional status at age 14. That's a license that allowed him to play the highest level of junior hockey as an underage. He got a call from Wayne Gretzky, and he was like, I think it was Wayne Gretzky. I hope it wasn't a prank.
He called me. I think it was him. I hope it wasn't someone, you know, pulling a prank on me. But, you know, I'm pretty sure it was him. And, you know, just said congrats and stuff.
Do you remember his calls like, hi, this is Wayne Gretzky?
Yeah, so I couldn't really speak. I was nervous and everything. And right after, I told my dad, and he's like, no way. Like, that didn't happen. But, you know, that was pretty special.
But again, he's been in the spotlight. So visiting him, he was able to drive me around and show me some of his spots. And I saw, you know, just what life is like for him. He doesn't want to go out in public so much because he gets mobbed. And, you know, it's kind of just been weird being in this fishbowl, especially in this town where there's not much to do here except for this junior team that's garnering all of this attention. And it's been pretty remarkable that he's been able to be so well adjusted throughout this all.
We got a teenager who picks up the phone and it's the greatest hockey player of all time. I mean, what a flex for all the other kids in high school, I'm sure, who had no conversations similar to that. But the NHL draft lottery is tonight, and we're all waiting to see who's going to get the top pick in June's draft. I'm always a little suspicious of this is the best player since talk, but all of that is around Connor Bedard.
It will be the most hyped draft lottery since Connor McDavid.
You start getting into, is he McDavid? Is he Ovechkin? Is he going to be Matthews? Is he going to be this? Is he going to be that? But just the overall package and the ability to score goals and an offensive wow factor that is absolutely incredible, that's why he's the overwhelming favorite to go number one.
He's being hyped as the best player, the best talent we've seen maybe since Connor McDavid. Why? And what makes him so good?
First, I should mention he's a center. He's listed at 5'10". I think that's a bit generous. He's probably smaller than that. That's okay in today's NHL, which is faster and more skilled than ever. He doesn't necessarily have the explosiveness of Connor McDavid or Nathan MacKinnon, but he definitely has a burst. He's been known to put in 2 to 3 extra reps every time he's in the weight room. And he definitely has that thick traditional hockey lower half. He's deceptive, though, really unpredictable. His hockey IQ is very strong. And that means every single time he jumps over the boards, he can tilt the ice and make game-breaking plays. And he does.
Here comes Bedard in a hurry. Bedard cuts in for the net. He scores! 10 seconds into the game, Connor Bedard, and it's 1-0 Pats.
You wanted highlights? You got highlights.
Some of his highlights you'll see from his junior hockey career from the World Junior Championships are absolutely insane.
Connor Bedard walks in, holds, and shoots, scores! Connor Bedard, a rocket! And a power play goal for a 3-2 lead.
That's the one. That's the one that's special. Guys just can't shoot like that.
But his number one attribute, undoubtedly, is his shot.
Right circle, Bedard. Wrist shot, score! Connor Bedard with his second of the game. He just fires it. Top corner past Nolan Meier. What a shot by Connor Bedard.
Bedard has actually had the opportunity to skate with a lot of the elite players that are in the NHL today. A lot of them skate together over the summer. And I asked some of these guys about Bedard, and they talked about his shot. McDavid said, it is remarkable to see. He shoots it so hard with such a quick release. And Nathan MacKinnon said, his release is one of the best in the world now at 17. Remember, this kid is just 17 years old.
You got to take me back, Emily, to this incredible talents beginning, so where it all started. How did Connor's story begin?
Well, he grew up in North Vancouver, British Columbia. His mom, Melanie, dad, Tom, who's a logger. Connor told me that his work ethic actually came from his father. His dad would wake up at 3, 4 a.m. every day, would drive 3 or 4 hours to get to the site. He's in the mountains, climbing up trees. It's a pretty dangerous job. His dad would tell him about a lot of the injuries that would happen. His dad broke a leg on the job. And then when his dad came back, he would drive Connor to hockey practice. And he just said he always had a positive attitude. And that's something that I took with me.
Okay, hold on a second. Logger dad taking his kid to hockey practice. I think that's the most Canadian thing I've ever heard in my entire life, Emily. And here you have this young guy who's growing to love the sport. When was the moment where he really fell in love with hockey? And how deep did it get in terms of his passion for that sport?
You know, I don't know if there's a specific moment. I think it just grew and grew.
How did you first fall in love with hockey?
I think kind of the first time I was on the ice, I was like crying, getting off or something. And then the next day I went back on. It was the first time I got to like touch a puck. 4 or 5 years old, just stick handling and shooting and kind of, you know, imagining game 7, Stanley Cup final stuff, like any kid. And that's kind of when I fell in love with it.
Connor picked up the sport 3, 4 years old, like a lot of Canadians do, and he just absolutely loved it. He was constantly playing in the backyard, in the driveway when he could, breaking so many things, practicing that shot. Up until he was 12, he was a two-sport athlete. He also played soccer. And then he just became fixated on hockey. And the story that Connor tells is that just shows how obsessed he was with hockey is that his sister really wanted to go to Hawaii on a family vacation. And Connor was like, no, I don't want to go.
Why didn't you want to go to Hawaii?
I just wanted to play hockey. I think, you know, that's always what I wanted to do, like I said. And we went for about a week. And, you know, for me, that was pretty terrible to have a week off.
And so his parents made a compromise.
I told him I gotta bring my roller hockey stuff. So I went to the airport, got my ticket, and had a hockey bag. So I probably looked like a bit of an idiot. But, you know, when I was there, I got to kind of, you know, rollerblade around the, you know, seawall or whatever there. And, you know, I don't know. It was just kind of always what I wanted to do.
So that gives you a sense of how much this kid loves this sport.
Emily, who are the players Bedard looked up to as he was growing up?
He was born in 2005 in July, 13 days before his childhood idol, Sidney Crosby, was drafted by the Pittsburgh Penguins. And he grew up also in an era where all of these players not only were on TV all the time for him in Canada, but he could go online and watch their YouTube clips and their highlights. And he is just a student of the game. He tells me he would watch Austin Matthews on YouTube. That's making me feel super old here. And take some things that he noticed in his release and some of the stick work that he did and practice it on his own. He would watch Patrick Kane skating. But it was Sidney Crosby who he was really obsessed with. Obviously, he was focused on the way that Sidney Crosby protected the puck and his 200-foot game. But he also said off the ice, what he really studied was how Sidney Crosby handled press conferences and social interactions. And he said there was just this humbleness to him. You could tell he never talked about himself. He always tried to involve teammates or people who helped him out along the way. He never made a mistake. He always stayed out of trouble. And that's who Connor Bedard publicly has modeled himself after. Again, a traditional hockey kid from Canada that grew up in this way. They're very deferential, very respectful. They don't even use the pronoun I. They say we or you instead. And, you know, while we as fans and the media probably want a little more personality and juice out of him to, you know, become that mainstream personality, I can tell you that hockey evaluators and scouts and GMs and coaches absolutely love the way this kid talks.
Emily, it's like a media tradition for reporters to claim that they discovered someone. You mentioned LeBron James or Patrick Mahomes. Some reporter will say, well, I saw him in the beginning. I imagine it was the same way for a young Canadian superstar like Connor, who was good right away. When did the media first begin to notice him?
He was 12 years old when he did his first interview. It was with the Hockey News.
I had my first interview with the Hockey News, I think. So I had a little article there and I thought it was pretty cool. I was in a newspaper and stuff, and you know, all my friends were showing me and whatever. So that was kind of the first time that, you know, I was introduced to media and kind of saw myself in that light.
Crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty young.
And when you get written about that young, it changes things for you, and his popularity only exploded from there.
You got a lot of talented Canadian players who are all trying to fulfill their dreams, but something about Connor helped him stand out? What was he doing on the ice that allowed him to separate himself from his peers?
Well, you know, Myron, when Connor was 14 years old, he broke his wrist. And that limited him because he obviously wasn't able to play. He was sidelined for a bit. And he used that time to really hone in and strengthen his other arm and focus on his shot. Many scouts believe, and Connor cites that as a time that helped him grow the most. So he used that moment of adversity to actually strengthen his game.
So he has this injury. He gets better at just 14 years old. And he gets something called exceptional status. I believe one of seven people to ever get that status in Canada. What is exceptional status, and how did Connor Bedard's junior hockey career evolve?
As you said, exceptional status is very rare. There's only been seven players who have ever gotten it. Some of the guys in the NHL now, Aaron Ekblad, the defenseman on the Florida Panthers, they're still playing in the playoffs. Connor McDavid, John Tavares, the captain of the Maple Leafs. So you get the sense of the company that he's in. And basically, it was that he was so advanced of his age that he could go and play up. Again, the CHL, which is the highest level of junior hockey. And they felt like that he could succeed in it. So it's a board that it reviews the case. They look at his film, they see all the circumstances, and they determine that Connor Bedard was worth it. So he's able to play up a year. And I think that really helped him too, because again, he's a smaller player and he had to learn craftiness around guys who are bigger, stronger, just developmentally more advanced than him. And he thrived in this league. By age 16, he became the youngest player in league history to score 50 goals. And I could start listing you all the records that he's broken along the way, but you start to get sick of it. You know, at the World Junior Championships this past year, he was the youngest player in the tournament and he ended up with 23 points in seven games. But what was most impressive is he broke five separate tournament records and he's passing guys like Jaromír Jágr, Erik Lindros, and Wayne Gretzky on these record lists. So this is a kid, you know, like you said, you're kind of sick of hearing best since. But when you hear someone compared to those names and breaking their records, you understand the level that he's at.
Sounds like a young man who takes advantage of every opportunity, which is something the Minnesota Wild did not do in the playoffs. But you ask...
No, you're not salty, Myron. You're not salty.
No. That's a little bit.
Billy Guerin's got it under control. I actually have a lot of faith in what he's building there.
Unfortunately, Emily, I've heard that before. But you've asked Connor if there's one game that sticks out to him in particular out of all the great games he's had throughout his career to this point. What game was he most proud of?
His most proud moment came at the World Juniors Championships. It's one of the biggest events in hockey every year. It was a quarterfinal game against Slovakia. His Canadian team was facing elimination, and he scored the overtime winner in a highlight reel fashion.
Bedard back with it. Slides it again.
Is out of this world. Check it out. There's one. There's two. And one more. He dances the entire team in overtime. It's his tournament. It's his world. We're just living in it.
Slovakia one was pretty cool to kind of have that overtime goal and kind of have that moment was pretty exciting. I mean, whoever scored it would have been awesome, but to be able to score that and have one of those in overtime of a, you know, kind of elimination game was pretty exciting.
And everyone who talks about that goal has a different, you know, story of where they were, what they were feeling, what emotions were evoked. And it's so cliche, but Connor Bedard, again, is a hockey player who speaks in cliches. And while he was really proud of the goal, the thing he was most proud of was the fact that he was able to help his team advance. And when he thinks back of the tournament, he doesn't think about any of these records that he broke, any of these names that he's passing. The memory he's going to hold most cherished is the fact that he was able to stand there with his teammates and win a gold medal.
Up next, let's talk about which team might be lucky enough to win the lottery and draft Connor Bedard and what kind of impact he could make on the NHL.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky. 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code DAILY. That's code DAILY. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Emily, you've got a handful of teams that could legitimately land the first pick in June's draft. Chicago, Columbus, Anaheim, just to name a few, all their fans are hoping they get the opportunity to go after a guy like Connor Bedard. What does he add to a team in contention as the first pick, and how close would they be to possibly being a real contender if they add a guy like that?
You know, it's tough, Myron, because hockey is the ultimate team sport. If you're a star player, especially a forward, you're only playing about a third of a game. And these teams that you're talking about are in contention for the number one pick because they've been really bad, not just this year, for a couple years now. A lot of these teams, though, have been angling for the last few years, knowing that this generational talent was coming up. And I also should mention, it's a really deep first round class. And he still is the unanimous number one pick. There is no situation I can envision where he's not going number one. So he's going to get drafted to one of these teams. And right away, he's going to create buzz. He's going to sell tickets. I mean, you just think of the buzz that he's already created in Canada. I mean, his team went on a road trip in the winter. They sold out every stop, including the 17,000-seat Saddle Dome, home of the Calgary Flames. There's a marketing executive in Vancouver that's been quoted in the Global News saying that he believes Connor Bedard has earned the league that he's in about $1.5 million by just playing in it. Wow. So all of a sudden, he's going to create excitement, sponsorships, marketing, all of that. On the ice, I think that he can contribute right away. And talking to amateur scouting directors, they say there's no doubt in my mind he can. However, it depends on the team's plan for him because a lot of teams want to slow play their prospects and just make sure that they're fully adjusted and ready. And they're putting them in a position to succeed, which is getting me to my point. If he gets to one of these teams, he'll be good and he'll stand out, but he's going to need some help and he's going to need players around him in order for that team to succeed. So while he's instantly going to make them a better team, I don't think one player in the league, no matter what player it is, can ever elevate a team from a bottom feeder to a Stanley Cup champion or Stanley Cup contender in just one year.
Somewhere, Emily, there's a TV exec trying to figure out how to get him on TV 50, 60 times next year, right? And he could land.
Maybe if he was in a city like Chicago, that could happen.
That could be one of the places he ends up. Anaheim, Columbus, Arizona, Montreal, all potential landing spots. Obviously, we know what might be good for him, but what's the best landing spot for the NHL and the sport itself?
You know, that's actually an interesting question, especially in the backdrop of these playoffs where like the NBA right now has all of their star players in and all of their marquee markets, which is great. We know that TV ratings are often driven by markets. In the NHL, the New York Rangers were eliminated. The Boston Bruins were eliminated. Los Angeles is out. The defending Stanley Cup champion Colorado Avalanche are out. And we have a playoffs now with a lot of small markets. We've got the Carolina Hurricanes and Florida Panthers, the New Jersey Devils, the Seattle Kraken. They're just in their second year of existence. So the league has always believed in these non-traditional markets and have wanted them to succeed. I think TV executives, marketing executives would prefer for him to end up in a market like Chicago, like Montreal, which is an original six, which has an established fan base. But the league might secretly be hoping he ends up in a place like Columbus or Arizona, specifically a team that's been struggling just to generate a fan base and find a permanent home.
We've obviously had some busts, right, at number one. The process in the draft isn't perfect. But that doesn't happen a lot in hockey because of all of these scouting and analytic mechanisms that you've described that kind of identifies these guys at a pretty early age. Jack Hughes, Austin Matthews, Connor McDavid, Nathan MacKinnon, John Tavares, Steven Stamkos. These are all big names who have become gigantic stars in the sport. How does Connor Bedard feel about the pressure he's under to kind of live up to his status as the potential number one pick and join that group of elite young players?
If he feels pressure, Myron, he never talks about it. Again, like this is a kid when he's talking about what's going to happen next year, uses qualifiers like if I were to be drafted. So he's keeping a really humble approach. I think that he was scarred a bit by what happened at last year's draft, where all year everyone was talking about a player named Shane Wright as the consensus number one pick. And Shane Wright, you know, was told for so long, you're going to be the consensus number one pick. And then it actually gets to draft night and they pick a kid off the board, Juraj Slafkovský, who's from Slovakia at number one. And Shane Wright tumbles all the way down to number four. It was one of those classic draft day moments where they're panning to him in the crowd. What's he going to do? What's his anxiety level like when he finally does get drafted? A lot of people think that he gave the stink eye to the Montreal Canadiens draft table on his way down from the stage. And I do believe that Connor and his representative saw what happened to Shane and said, look, no matter how many people are telling you you're going to go number one, no matter how much we believe it, let's just go into this completely neutral, completely humble. And when it happens, it's great.
What's the best piece of advice anyone's ever given you about pressure or that kind of attention?
Just don't get carried away with it. Just kind of focus on what you can control. And, you know, it doesn't matter what you've done, you know, the game before or whatever. It's always about the next game, the next shift. And, you know, for me, that's all I'm focused on. And, you know, focus on what matters is what, you know, how I've kind of dealt with it.
Emily, thank you for sharing Connor's story. Like, I have these moments where sometimes I'll see you covering a game, on social media talking about a game, and also reading one of your stories. You are everywhere all at the same time. Where are you off to next?
My boy Kent. He's there. She's there. I am back to the great state of New Jersey. It's actually where I'm from. I'll be covering the Devils and Hurricanes series for the rest of the second round, so I'm pumped about it.
Thanks again, Emily.
Thanks. I'm pumped for the bagels mostly.
I'm Myron Metcalf, and this has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.